This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. I've gotten accustomed to talking to this individual. I don't think I talk to any single human being every single day. I have talked to our next guest every day for the past 2 weeks. Rob and I even go days without talking to each other. Why am I talking to Rob on a Saturday? Nothing is happening. Josh Verdner has become such a part of my life that it's going to be sad that tomorrow, you know, and I'm just going to randomly text you about Michigan. You guys got somebody tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not sure who. It's not one of the seasons where you're staying all that dialed in.
Okay, that's fair. You know what? I will say this. I mean, I get it how you watch a team not score for your job. You don't want to watch a team not score recreationally. Why would you do that?
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good point. But we'll always have 2023 in that title with Harbaugh.
You know, that is
your boy.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I like him. You're right.
Chargers dot.
I like the Michigan dot, too. All right, let's start with this. I know we're having a little bit of fun here. Let's start with this. How are you going to remember this season? Because for me, this is the year that baseball was fun again. Baseball had, like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some hardcore baseball fan. I would consider myself to be your regular, casual baseball fan. I had kind of fallen out of baseball these last couple of years. There really wasn't a reason to keep up with it. I mean, once we got to the summer, the Royals were out of it. People are taking vacations. They were kind of out of sight, out of mind that, you know, going back out to the ballpark and following the standings and keeping up with the wild card. Like, I had kind of forgotten what that was like. This was a year for me to really fall in love with baseball again and really start to appreciate the sport. I don't have to tell you that. You follow the sport. You already love it. How are you going to remember this season?
Yeah, to me, sure. The wins, obviously, rekindling the city's love of the game will stand out, but that's always going to happen when a team wins. You're going to grow the fan base. To me, 2024 is going to be about the bigger plan and how there can now once again be hope in the organization moving forward in a sport that appears geared against the small market owner, the small market team, the low revenue team. How about we put it like that? The plan, I think, with J.J. Piccolo, John Sherman, this coaching staff, and Bobby Witt Jr. under that long-term contract, that's why you have hope for the future and faith in this organization because of the moves that you saw J.J., his front office, and ownership make over the past 12 months and the way that they all came to fruition over the course of these past 6 months, including Vinny going down and the team instead of sitting back and saying, wow, what a great season we had. Oh, well, Vinny got hurt still. Boy, we really brought the fan base back. Now they stayed aggressive. They took their shot. They, you know, parted with some prospects at the trade deadline to accelerate the postseason possibilities for this team. So my takeaway from 2024 is, whether it's the brain trust, it's the bigger plan, or it's the approach of this organization moving forward, it's a lot more reflective of a modern, small market, successful organization that wins consistently. They've become what we hoped they would become when John Sherman made changes in that front office. They're much more now similar to Cleveland, to Tampa, to Milwaukee, not only in that the way that they build teams and acquire talent, but also being in the race and, as we just saw, being in the postseason.
What similarities do you see between this team and the 2013 team? I understand that we don't really tell the story about the 2013 team, but you don't get to 14 and 15 without the Royals taking that massive step forward where it felt very similar. The Royals had just kind of been treading water, and then in 2013, they got competitive, and you could really feel them starting to build on the momentum. None of us knew how the story was going to finish, but we obviously know what happens in 14 and 15. What similarities do you see from where the Royals are now to where they were in 2013?
Two things stand out. Number one, the starting pitching from that 2013 team is really why that squad was able to finish above 500, because you got 200 innings from James Shields, from Jeremy Guthrie, from Ervin Santana, right? That was the offseason going into 2013, where Dayton Moore made a similar decision that J.J. Piccolo made this offseason. I have winning players, right? Haas and Moose and Kane and Billy and Gordo. We believe these guys are winners. They've proven enough to us over the course of 2011 and 2012. JJ said the same thing about Bobby and Vinny and Massey and Michael, MJ, Izzy, and the rest. So instead of bringing in Shields and Santana and Guthrie, you're bringing in Waka, Seth Lugo, make a great trade for Cole Reagans, and obviously he backed up his 2023. You know, it wasn't just a second half hot stretch from Cole Reagans. He's without a question a bona fide stud. That's the similarity. And then, of course, I'm listening to Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas earlier this afternoon talk about this 2024 Royals team and the attitude they'll have when they show up to spring training next season. So many of the questions that maybe they kept to themselves, the insecurities that we all carry in our own job, even millionaires, great athletes like them, when they show up to spring training, it's no longer a wonder of, are we good enough to win in the big leagues? No longer is it a question of, are we good enough to win in October? They've checked both of those boxes. 2013, after that season, I remember that spring training of 2014. They now knew that they were good enough to win, but they still had doubt in their mind of if that regular season success from 2013 would translate into October. This group has already received that answer that, yes, it's good enough, but you need a little bit more. And I think that'll fuel the workouts this offseason. And somehow Bobby will be better next year. Vinny will be hopefully healthy for a full 162. Can't wait to see what Michael Massey and Michael Garcia look like when they show up next year. MJ Melendez, same thing.
I understand people's hope to be optimistic in all of this, and I don't mean it to come off maybe as negative as it sounds. But this, I guess, the dreams of what this season could be really ended when Vinny got hurt. There is a clear line in the Royals season. There is pre-Vinny's injury where the Royals offense was actually pretty decent. I mean, that offense from August 1st could have won this series. The offense that they had on October 1st, they just were not equipped to be able to beat 3 out of 5 games against the New York Yankees. That Vinny injury, we talk about next man up, and I get the concept of it. There are some injuries that your team is just not going to be able to overcome. And Vinny's injury, when it happened, how late it was in the season, and you never really got that player back, that's what really ultimately doomed this team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think that comes as much as a surprise. That was certainly my sentiment on that post-game show after he went down. That was you know, my mantra after that was just hang on. Just, you know, it doesn't need to be pretty. Just get to October. And the only reason I wanted them to get to October wasn't because without Vinny, they had a real chance at winning the World Series. No, I wanted Bobby to get that. I wanted Bobby to be able to check that box of, yes, now I know my stuff plays in October. I wanted this rotation to get their shine for what they've done all season. I wanted Salvi to get one more, you know, dance under the October light. So they were able to hang on. But listen, you know, all season, the first 5 months of the year, had you told me that Vinny was going to go down for the final month, I would have told you then. It's going to be rough. You know, you're probably not going to make it to October, and you certainly won't be good enough to get all that deep. They did a lot better. Vinny did a lot better than I thought he ever would. The offense did a lot better than I ever thought it would, because if you look at the first 4 or 5 months of the season, middle of the road offense, sure. But Bobby, Vinny, and Sal, Bobby was an MVP. Right, Vinny was on pace to drive in like 110, 115. So was Salvi. Right, Salvi's putting up another outstanding year, a year that could see him on the All MLB first team. So those guys were the reason why you were 15th in Major League Baseball as far as offense. So of course, if you remove one of them, they're going to drop down to the bottom third, bottom five. Well, in the month of September, the very bottom of Major League Baseball. So yeah, without question, if Bobby, if Vinny, if Salvi, if any of those three would have went down, things would have gone as south as they ultimately did. So the question is, heading into the offseason, is there enough in-house to come around those three of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi? Or do you need to spend in the offseason, spend big, or just spend wisely to bring in that additional bat? Do you believe in MJ? Do you believe in Hunter Renfroe for a full 162? Do you believe in Michael Massey? If the answer is two no's and only one yes, well, then you might need to dip your toe into that free agent water and try and strike big like you did this past offseason. JJ's got a pretty good record, so I would imagine if he knocks on the door of John Sherman with the answer for the offense, you'll get the green light from the head man.
I mean, my answer for this, and I was going to get to this at the end, but we can just talk about it now, just in the flow of the conversation. If they came to me and said, hey, Carrington, what do you think that we need? I would spend my resources on third base or corner outfield. To me, those areas have to be addressed. I'm not sure if you can go into next season with a starting lineup that includes MJ Melendez and Mikel Garcia. If those guys are in the mix, sure. But I think it was kind of obvious, at least in this series, that the Royals could use one more bat. Now, I don't think it's going to be cheap. I mean, a lot of teams are looking for a corner outfielder. A lot of teams are looking for a third baseman. But to me, this team to get over the hump offensively, they need one more bat. That's where I would spend the resources.
Yeah, yeah. And it's likely to be your middle market bat. You know, the top third baseman on the market's going to be Alex Bregman. I don't think the Royals are going to be in that conversation. No, you're going to be in the third baseman equivalent of Seth Lugo or Michael Wacha, which I know some people might hear that and say, oh, yeah, sign me up. Those guys were outstanding. That's a reflection of the reason why there's hope for the future, and you should have faith in this organization because of what this front office has been able to do on the waiver wire, trade deadline, and in free agency. So, listen. Now, replacing Michael Wacha, do you have that answer in-house? Because Lugo, Reagans, Singer, I'd like to think that all three could duplicate what they did in 2024, but even if there is a slight collective regression, maybe a return of a Kyle Wright, a Daniel Lynch, a Chris Bubich, Alec Marsh. Maybe the answer is in-house, but to fill both of those holes via free agency, I would find that surprising if the Royals went that aggressive again in the offseason. I still think there has to be a internal candidate on both fronts that they put some pressure on. Maybe that's MJ. Maybe that's Michael Massey. Massey, of course, with that back injury that we don't know if it'll ever subside. How much can you really rely on him over the course of 162? So someone's going to have to step up, either a bat or one of those arms that I mentioned, the Bubich, the Kyle Wright, the Daniel Lynch, the Alec Marsh. Someone's going to have to fill in for Michael Wacha, because I would be shocked if he picks up a player option for 1 year, $16 million. After the year he had, he can get that at least over the course of 2 years and guarantee himself $32, $35
million. Do you think there's any chance that comes from the Royals?
Yes, because, you know, you could throw on an additional player option, right? Just sign him to the exact same deal that he had this year. Maybe you throw on an additional $1 million. The only reason why I would say yes is because he's, you know, has family in St. Louis. He has family in Iowa. He's a Midwestern guy. But he's also 32, 33. You know, if he can find that three-year deal, that three-year with – if he could find Seth Lugo's contract that Lugo got this past offseason, I don't think that'll come from Kansas City. You can get him for 1 year again, no doubt you do that. But if he wants multiple guaranteed years, I don't think the Royals will be his partner.
Right now we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Maybe this is my football, basketball brain kind of kicking in, but just like, you know how in a football game you think about a third down conversion or a big shot that you should have hit. The play that I just think of from yesterday was the Kyle Isbell just missed home run. Just, you know, you and I have both been at Kauffman Stadium for some incredible moments, and it felt like that stadium, that fan base was ready to turn up for anything that happens. If Kyle Isbell hits a home run and that game is tied at three apiece, that is as loud as we've ever heard Kauffman Stadium.
Oh, without question. Yeah, MJ also got under one that off the bat was just so dang high. You're thinking, man, that thing might carry over the right field wall. Yeah, that would have been nice. Also would have been nice to not spot the Yankees a run before you record an out in the first inning. No panic from Michael Wacha. He wiggles out of it, but still. Listen. You were just straight up outplayed, right? Yankees were just the better team. As I mentioned earlier today, the best starting pitcher in the series was Cole Reagans. The three best relief pitchers were all Yankees. The best bat was Giancarlo Stanton. In my opinion, the best position players, you know, of the top four, three of them were Yankees, right? Volpe, Soto, Gleyber Torres. You can throw Michael Massey or a Mikel Garcia, I guess, in the mix if you want. But the Yankees were just straight up the better team across the board.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier here for a couple of more minutes, just getting his thoughts on the season and how everything just kind of ended for the Royals. I am kind of curious, I guess, moving forward, now that you've seen, obviously, a lot of the Guardians play this year, you obviously just watched the Yankees. Who do you think advances in that series?
Boy, I'm rooting for Cleveland. I'm rooting for a team that earned it over the course of 162. I don't want to get on my soapbox again about my disdain for the expanded postseason. But Mets, Tigers, 2-6 seeds, one that traded away their second-best starter, the other really didn't do much at the deadline. Two teams that were discussing punting before the deadline. I don't want to see those two teams in the World Series, so I'm rooting for the Padres. I think the Padres are the most well-rounded team that remains. And I'm going for the upset tomorrow. I'm rooting for Cleveland to get the best of Tarek Skubal in Cleveland. So moving forward, the teams I'm pulling for, Cleveland and San Diego. And I think the two best teams, though, are San Diego and New York, and that would be one hell of a World Series.
Vern, I don't know what you have planned over the next couple of days, but I know whatever vacation you have planned, man, is certainly as well earned, man. I've enjoyed talking
Thanks.
To you for the last couple of weeks, man, and I'll catch up with you again whenever the Royals do something, because I know this offseason they're going to do something. I don't know when, but they're going to make a move.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That is Josh Vernier. You're joining us on the show today. Vern has been on the show every day over the last, two, 3 weeks, man? It's been a while we've had Vern on the show, man. So happy that Vern was able to come on the show today. All right. I guess big picture, I'm thinking two things in the 5 o'clock hour. Number one is how appreciative I am of the Royals for what they accomplished this season. I always say, like, yesterday to me was the day to kind of be critical. Hey, they are down 2-1 in this series. This is what they have done wrong. This is what they need to do to turn things around, get back in this series, and win it. Today's a lot different. Like, there is a finality to it, obviously, because it is the end, that I, over the last 24 hours, have been a lot more reflective on what this season has been, what it means to me, what it's meant to the show, what it's meant to all of us over the course of the last 6 months. I'm proud that the Royals, at almost every single turn, checked the box of what we wanted them to do. this offseason. I think a lot of us were looking at the owner and saying, hey, are you going to do something? Are you going to do something that commands our attention? And they did that. As the season progressed, you were kind of thinking, well, can they just get us to the summer? You know, hey, I'd like for the summer to be interesting. As we got closer to the deadline, I think it became kind of clear the Royals need something. They got a chance to make the postseason, but they need something. They went out and they got that something. After the Vinny Pasquantino injury happened, the Royals needed to do something. Like, imagine what this lineup looks like if you didn't have Tommy Pham, you didn't have Gurriel, like, you didn't make those moves. The Royals went out there and they made those moves. It was just good for baseball to matter. I always say this, that baseball owners have pulled maybe the greatest trick on its fan base. At least they did there for a while. Maybe it's different now with the wild card. But, Rob, you remember not that long ago, baseball owners had its fan base convinced that there was no value in being an 85-win team and making the postseason. If you're not going to the World Series, then you need to tank and grab as many assets as possible, and we need to lose, lose, lose. No, like, there is a value of you want to take your girlfriend to the game. You want to take your kids to the game. And there's value in buying a ticket and feeling like the home team has a chance to win. And I don't think that I am unique in my feelings against the Royals over the last couple of years. It's been easy to kind of disregard the Royals. They don't come on TV, so you really got to make efforts to watch the Royals if you want to, for a lot of different people. They haven't been very good. They haven't played very meaningful games. And the Chiefs have been so good, so attention demanding. And it feels like every 6 weeks, there's something new happening. Kansas does something. Missouri does something. K-State does something. The soccer teams do something. Like, it has been easy to kind of cast aside the Royals over the course of the last 2-3 years or so, that this is the year that I've really gotten back into baseball, and baseball was fun. You guys care about baseball. It's easy to get into things that you guys are into. I'm not really that into soccer, but I'm around Rob every day. And the more Rob keeps talking to me about it, eventually, like, man, you know, I'm going to watch soccer. I'll watch it. It's easy getting into things like that. You guys got into baseball, so it made it a lot easier for me, the show, and all of us to get into baseball. So obviously, I'm disappointed that the Royals lost. The Royals had opportunities to win this series. The Royals probably should have won game one. The Royals had an opportunity to win yesterday. But you know what? For them to go from being a 56-win team to where they are now and taking that next step, and the Royals mattering again, it was a good step in the right direction. And I think we all are in the same place. I want to see how they respond this offseason. What do they do? I think it is clear what the Royals need. The Royals need another bat. And those things don't come cheap. A lot of teams need another bat. And I'm not just talking about they need someone who can make an impact. Someone who you think can hit sixth or seventh in a playoff lineup and can help drive in runs. That's what the Royals really need. They didn't have enough of that over the course of this series. They already were a little bit thin on the back half of it, and you really got your depth tested over the course of the last 6 weeks. I understand that nobody wanted to shovel dirt on the Royals, and no one wanted to be the one to say it. Their season was over, at least in terms of them really having a chance of being a dangerous team when Vinny got hurt. There are two versions of the Kansas City Royals. There's two versions. There's the version that had a healthy Vinny and the version that had a unhealthy Vinny. And the version that didn't have healthy Vinny, they didn't have a chance to beat the New York Yankees. Not realistically. You're not beating the Yankees consistently 1-0, 2-1. You're going to have to score runs. And since Vinny got hurt, the Royals are dead last in batting average, dead last in on-base percentage, dead last in slugging percentage, and they have scored the fewest amount of runs since the Vinny Pasquantino injury. You just don't have a chance to compete at this high of a level. We make the football analogy. You can win one playoff game 13-10. You're not doing that for three straight weeks. Eventually, you got to beat a team 24-21, 27-24. And this team just didn't have the ability to beat teams 6-4, 6-5 at Kauffman Stadium. They lost 7 of the last 8 games at home. I mean, that's how this season ended. We can talk about the walks and the pitching and all of those things. The reason that the Royals lost is they just couldn't score enough to keep up with these teams. We gave you the number yesterday. 3 was the magical number. The Yankees were able to get to 3 runs over the course of the last 2 days, and the Royals weren't, and that's how they lost this series. They didn't lose this because of the walks. They didn't lose this because of the bullpen. They didn't lose this because of Michael Wacha. If you can't score 3 runs consistently in a playoff game, you're just not going to advance.
It's pretty self-explanatory. We talked about it on the show yesterday. It's a race to three. The Yankees got to three by the fifth inning. And for those in the gambling market, you could have live bet hit the money line. It was in the plus 300s. Vegas knew, I knew, you knew. The Yankees got to three first. Can the Royals get to four? And they couldn't. But you know what? That's not an indictment on their season. That's not a, hey, see, it was all smoke and mirrors moment. I feel like you were talking about what this season did for you with the Royals. What I'm hopeful this season did with the Royals is it brought baseball fans and the perspective of baseball back for Kansas City. It felt like all year, and maybe I'm just listening to the text line, people were waiting for the Royals to fall back to being the 2023 Royals. And you know what? They never did that. They may have, you know, limped to the finish. They may have not won the World Series. But you know what? They made the playoffs. They had a 30-plus win change over one season. They proved they were a good baseball team. Now, I hope, to Ryan LaFever's point, this was the foundation. I hope the fan base sees it as the foundation. Hey, they got Bobby. They got Vinny. They got Cole Reagans. They got pieces. I'm bought in. Hey, I was a non-believer last year, but you got me. Let's see what they can do. That's what those 14 and 15 teams did. They built on that foundation. But I'm hopeful that next year, if the Royals start, you know, 8-8, 500 ball, the text line is in full width. It's all smoke and mirrors, Rob. We knew this all last year. It's fake. I hope that group of fans has disappeared, and now there is a belief that, hey, this is a good organization that is well-run, that has good pieces, and there is a belief that going forward they can be maybe not World Series threats every year, but they are a contender we talk about in February every year.
I know you will take this analogy as a shot, and I promise you that this is not a shot. This is their 2023 Kansas Jayhawks year. That's what it is. You remember how bad KU was? KU then took a step forward in 2022, and they made a bowl game, and that was the big deal. And then last year, they won 9 games. Now, I obviously know how this season has turned on. But, man, heading into the season, man, you were really excited about this upcoming year, and you were thinking about the possibilities of something special. For the first time in a while with the Royals, they handed you something tangible. And one of my biggest complaints about the Royals over the last 6 or 7 years is it was so ambiguous on how you could decide and determine what success is. Well, in sports, we have markers to determine if you're successful or not. In college football, did you make a bowl game? Did you make the college football playoff? Did you win your division? Did you do X, Y, and Z? In baseball, they have those same markers, but with the Royals, it was always, well, I just want to see the young guys play. Man, they keep score in these games, too. And this year, the Royals handed you something tangible, and Piccolo handed you, my way works. It is not just ideas. It is not just concepts. It is not just a hope and feeling and, well, we played really well in September when the games don't matter. No, the Royals from the beginning of the baseball season until last night kept your interest the entire step of the way. And it was a windy road. It wasn't perfect. But they had homestands in which they won every game. They had homestands in which they lost every game. You were keeping up with playoff standings. You were keeping up with how other teams were doing. It was fun to know what it feels like to cheer for a real living baseball team. And it's been almost a decade since we've done that. Coming up on the other side, there's only one thing I'm disappointed in this entire Royals season. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I want to tell you guys the only thing I'm disappointed in regarding the Royals. I guess maybe two things. One's not that big of a deal. I really wanted Kyle Isbell to hit the home run yesterday. I really did. If you were at the game yesterday and I saw some people, I think this is just a vocal minority. Man, I thought it was going to be more of a playoff atmosphere. Tell me when the last time you went to a game that was fun when the home team wasn't scoring. I saw people making this complaint. I thought it was going to be more of a playoff atmosphere. Bro, they're losing. I'm not joking. The game started at 7:08. First pitch was 7:08. Three pitches later, the Royals were losing, and the game was never tied or they never had the lead. How much fun do you think that can be? Some of you spent $500-$600 a ticket. How much fun is that to watch the Royals lose 2-0? I don't know what people are complaining about. It was very odd. I thought it was going to be crazy. Win. Tell me a game in which the home team didn't score and you were like, man, it was fun. No, it's never fun if that's the case. It was nonsense what people were saying. So I got to give credit to this. This is Matt Lamar. Shout out to him. He tweeted this out. The Royals lost their last 8 home games of the season. The Royals scored 7 or in 7 of those games, excuse me. So they lost their last 8 home games. In 7 of those home games, they scored 2 or fewer runs. That's the stretch run. Your last 8 home games, 2 of those are playoff games, and your final homestand lost all of them and didn't score in any of them. Not that fun. Additionally, this season, I saw some of you saying this over the course of the year. I didn't put too much stock into it, but then I started thinking, like, I went to most of these games. Additionally, they had 8 games this season in which over 30,000 people went out to Kauffman Stadium. 8. Good attendance, good crowds. Shaq is here. It's Big Slick Day. You know, big games out of Kauffman Stadium. The Royals were 2-6 in those 8 games this year. I know that sometimes I get on you guys for being negative about the Royals. Like, you guys, oddly enough, are more negative than me on the Royals most of the time. I'm normally kind of positive, or at least moderate. I'm at least neutral on the Royals. I mean, I was at that final Friday game against the Giants that they really, really needed, and they didn't score that game either. I was at the game yesterday. I know that you guys think that I just have some ticket tree and the tickets just come fall from the sky. No, I paid to go to yesterday's game. I paid. I went on SeatGeek, bought my tickets the way that you guys did. They didn't score. No, not at all. Not in any of the games. And the big games. I was at the game, Big Diesel Day. Remember when they had DJ Diesel, the Shaq game? Lost that game. I was at last night. Lost that game. If you guys went both nights, big crowds out there. Man, that crowd was just, oh, they were ready to get going, man. You had your towel. You were waving the towel. Anytime the Royals gave you a sliver of hope yesterday, the crowd was ready to cheer. You got to give them something to cheer about. And I'm not talking about a single with nobody on and two outs. That's not what's getting people up to cheer and get excited. That's my biggest disappointment about this season was, A, down the stretch when the games were most important, and I think people were wanting to really buy into the Royals. You didn't really give them a reason to buy in. And then when they finally bought in, you don't really have a choice. It's the postseason. Like, you're going to these games. They just put up such a lousy offensive performance in both of those days. And, you know, if you went to the playoff games in 14 and 15, you know what that stadium can be like. You know, and that's not what the last two nights were. And that's no disrespect to the last two nights of the crowd. It just, they weren't losing the games in 14 and 15 at home. They were winning. It was exciting. Yesterday wasn't that. It can only be so exciting if the home team isn't scoring runs. And they did not score runs over the last two nights.
I think that stat is disappointing to me for a couple reasons. One, the ones you laid out. The eight games they had over 30,000 fans, they failed to really grab the crowd. Like, you talked about in the last segment, the Royals giving you something. And they did this year on the whole. But it felt like when the city actually bought in and went out there, they failed to cash that ticket. So that, I agree with anything you're saying. The other part to me that's a little bit disappointing, and it's not surprising coming from this show. Man, the Royals won 86 games this year. And at one point were tied for first place in the AL Central. And were the second wild card and won a wild card series, and they play 81 home games. 73 of them had less than 30,000 people. That would be, I don't know the percentage offhand, but let's just say 95%. 95% of the games this year, the fan base didn't show up. I understand the hesitancy in April, May, but June, July, August, they still couldn't get people to the ballpark. Like, I know this show has talked about attendance ad nauseum, but the other part of that stat that stands out to me is just it felt like the city never showed the buy-in. And when they did, the Royals didn't cash in. It works both ways. But eight times over 81 home games. By the way, it's probably more than that because you include the postseason. So 83 home games, eight times, eight. They got over 30,000. Capacity's 40.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's not my complaint as much. And I definitely get it. Like, you're allowed to have your complaint with whatever it is. Oddly enough, I think that buy-in is happening right now. I think the buy-in. There's no doubt that season ticket numbers are going to be up for next season. There's no question about it, right? Like, the Royals are good now. The easiest way to sell tickets is to put a good product on the field. The Royals have put a good product on the field. I really do believe that people are now intrigued to see what happens next. What happened next? Again, I don't want to make it seem like my experiences are unique. I imagine that many of you probably went to more games this year than you have in the last three or four seasons combined. And you went out there and it was kind of fun. You forgot what it was like to have a hot dog and a beer and go out there and watch the game and do all those things. The Royals have a chance to get you again. That's the beautiful thing about sports, right? The beautiful thing about sports is there's always another game. There's always another season. People are going to be engaged from the beginning of the season. So you mentioned that buy-in. You know what the Royals need to do in their first 2 weeks? Be good. Be good. Two things. I guess three things. Get your television situation in order. People want to watch the Royals on television. They, meaning Major League Baseball, they have made it difficult for you to watch the games. So number one, and it's not just a Royals thing. It's a Major League. Get your television house in order is step number one. Before we figure out the downtown stadium, before we figure out a left fielder, let's get our television business in order to make it easy for our fan base to interact and watch our games. They now know who they are. I don't think people knew who some of these guys were 5-6 months ago. You know now who Michael Massey is. You know. You and I, you remember, we had this conversation at the very beginning of the season. Was Bobby Witt Jr. a household name? Could Bobby Witt Jr. go down to the plaza and people bother him? Bobby Witt Jr. went from what we thought he was at the beginning of the year to he should be the one who turns on the plaza lights. I mean, it should always be Patrick Mahomes if he wants to do it. Until Patrick he asked question number one is him and Travis. Do you want to do it? After that, the person is Bobby Witt Jr. Do you want to turn on the plaza lights? That is one of the coolest honors that our city can give out. Do you want to be the person that does it? You wouldn't have asked him to do that last year. So get your television house in order. And this offseason, you got to do something that keeps the fan base engaged. You got them. They're listening. Football season's about to come up. The Royals need one day where they take the headlines away from the Chiefs over the next 4 months. You can do that. Make a big move, a big trade, a big signing, a big something that continues to let the fan base know, hey, I know you guys are watching football, but when football season is over, we are back and we are dedicated to trying to make the playoffs again next season. And then be good in the first 10 games of the season. Be good, because you and I both know, you're saying about attendance, we know, I don't care, they will not draw well until school is out. And then when school is out, you'll get 25,000 people out there consistently. You almost got them. Like, you almost got them. You're almost there. This was a really, really positive step forward for the Royals. And now you got to see if you can take that next step. Can you win the division next year? Can you host the wild card? Can you be the favorite in your series? That's now the goal. And it's a very attainable goal for the Royals based on what we just saw them do. We'll get to football next. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. This has nothing to do with what I wanted to talk about, but it's important. And it's the end of the show, so I kind of feel like I can really talk about whatever I want to talk about. I want to tell you guys this. This is an important message that men, women, everyone needs to hear. Your ex is happy in their new relationship. Move on. Now, you might be wondering, Carrington, where's that coming from? Every time I see Travis Kelce's ex on the internet, every time, it's nonsense. Now, I don't complain about her popping up on the timeline because she is a baddie. I ain't gonna lie to you there. But, bro, I don't. Why is she still talking about Travis Kelce? I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I also don't get it. I know people's, oh, well, she was asked about it. It's not that hard. You know what? I appreciate my time with that person. We had a great, amazing relationship. They've moved on. I moved on. Easy. Easy enough. Yo, you know she's moved on. Quit liking her pictures, man. She doesn't want anything to do with you anymore. She's happy in her new relationship. I know you trying to comment the laughing emojis under her story, bro. It's over. She's happy. You should go find happiness, too. I want that for this Kayla young lady. I really do. I want it for her. I want her to be happy. She doesn't seem happy.
I'm not trying to defend her. But she lost a boyfriend and her little friend group all in one fell swoop.
That's what, you know what? That's probably hurts her the most.
Mm-hmm. She sees Britney taking photos.
Oh, that's what hurts
There's
her
the
most.
The video of her and Taylor hugging. Taylor broke up with Kayla more than Travis did.
Could you think about it, though? Like, the one part I do feel bad for Kayla is you see all the fun stuff your ex is doing. And that used to be you doing all the fun stuff. You would have been at the U.S. Open, you know? And then you start to see Travis is doing stuff for this other girl. He was never doing this stuff for you. Travis went to Australia and was at the zoo with Taylor Swift. Remember that? They were at the zoo together.
Well, to be fair, that might
He went and taking his girl to the Kansas City Zoo. Now you with your new girl at the Australian Zoo. I would feel a way about that, too.
There's a little bit of an income difference between the old girl and the new girl, though. The new girl could own Australia.
No, I understand, but I'm saying you understand as a woman, though. Wait, hold on. I see you doing all this stuff for her, and you would never do those things for me. I get why she feels that way. But I'm saying is when your ex has moved, she's dated other people since then. She was dating Micah Parsons. I don't know if that was like common knowledge or anything, but she was absolutely dating Micah Parsons. What are we doing now? You've moved on. He's moved on. Why are you still doing interviews about this person? Travis never talks about her.
Do you think she saw the video and she's like, I was begging Travis to go to Miracle year after year 100%. After year. And now it's secret photos.
I'm telling you, you know there is something that he has done with Taylor that she has been asking, man, I really want an X, Y, and Z. I really want, and he would never, you know that's happened before. And you know she in there, man, she on Instagram thumbing, and you can't really get through it. You, like Rob, your ex, you can avoid the stuff that her and her boyfriend are doing. You don't got to see. Tell me how you're on the internet and you're avoiding Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's relationship. What internet? Especially if part of your job is Instagram the way that hers is. How are you avoiding their relationship? Every time you get on there, you see that they're doing something. He looked happy, too. He looked happy. He looked when he was with you. He looked very happy. Looks thrilled. I'm praying for you.
He's now on TV shows, too. Like, yeah. I'm going to watch FX to escape it. Oh,
he really
God.
Leveled up. That's the thing. He leveled up. He leveled up. So, I mean, I just want you to know, man, she's happy right now. You're sitting there right now. You're alone. You're thinking about her. She's resting her head on that man's chest, and they're watching Love is Blind together. Bro, you got to move on, dog. Got to move on. Who's after us today? Anybody?
Fan Football Show with Jay Binkley and Sean Barber from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Hey! Salute to my brother, Sean Barber. Binkley, too. Yo, let's do Beers with Bink sometime this week. Let's do it, man. It's been a while since we've done it. I know you want a good fall IPA, Rob. Ooh. I know you do.
It's almost pumpkin beer season.
Yeah, it's almost. Halloween's 2 weeks from now. I know you can't wait. Y'all, I appreciate you guys. I'll catch you guys on Monday, man. Enjoy football this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.